Take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 17 to 20. We'll read Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 17 to 20. Verse 17 reads, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." Let's pray. Oh God, we bless you for the hour to serve you, to honor you, and yet we are mindful that night is coming. So Lord, I pray that you would equip us to serve you more effectively as you tarry your return. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is Walk Not as Others. Walk not as others. The practical section of the book of Ephesians begins here in chapter 4 and continues for the remainder of the book. This section rests upon the first three chapters, which are doctrinal, confirming our richness, the spiritual wealth we have in Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, verse 1, we read, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." So we read here in verse 1 of chapter 4 that we are to walk worthy. Walk, our conduct, conduct yourself, walk worthy, honorably, conduct yourself honorably, as is fitting of a Christian, of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And from that basis, verses 1 to 6 deal with the issue of unity. We walk honorably, worthily, by endeavoring to maintain unity amongst us. And then the emphasis from verses 7 to 16 is on spiritual maturity and being equipped for effective service in and through the faithful preaching of the Word of God. That's the emphasis from verses 7 to 16. So in chapter 4, verse 1, we are instructed to walk worthy. In chapter 4, verse 17, we are instructed to walk not as other Gentiles walk. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. It doesn't read, walk not as Gentiles walk. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. What does he mean by this? Well, the word Gentile in the Bible is used in two main ways. It can refer to a non-Jew. If you are not Jewish, then you are considered a Gentile. The Bible has much to say about Gentile nations. But also it can be in reference to those that are not Christians. This is the context here. That's why it reads, "Walk not as other Gentiles walk." The Ephesian believers were Gentiles. This is a Gentile church established there in Ephesus, modern-day Turkey. So this is a Gentile church. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. So the Ephesian believers, being Gentiles, not Jewish, they were not to walk as other Gentiles, unsaved Gentiles. In other words, the walk of an unsaved Gentile is to live life without God. And Paul exhorts these believers, don't live your life as if you do not know God. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. You are to walk demonstrating that you are a Christian. That was chapter 4, verse 1. Walk worthy of the vocation ye are called. So this involves a determination to walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now this section, the remainder of chapter 4, deals with putting off, removing permanently marks of the old life, note then verse 22, that ye put off. And this section also involves a putting on of the new man. Verse 24, that ye put on the new man, put off, put on. Now how do we do this? How is it possible? Well, the key is verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. But first and foremost, we must put off. We must leave behind. And what are we to leave behind? Well, look with me there, verse 17. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. And that from then on, God gives us, God reminds these believers that the unsaved are lost. They are like a ship without a rudder. They are like a car without a steering wheel, whose only destiny is misery and destruction. So walk not as other Gentiles walk. And how do individuals walk that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior? Well, note there first and foremost in verse 17, they walk in the vanity of their minds. They walk in the vanity of their minds. The word vanity means futile, empty, vanity. It's empty. The vanity of their minds, literally void of usefulness beneficial purpose. No real substance. Like a well that has no water. Walk not in the vanity of their minds. This is those that are without Christ. They have no purpose. Vain in their thinking. But also verse 18 also teaches us, having the understanding darkened. Having a dark understanding. In other words, having no true understanding. Maybe possessing knowledge, but knowledge is not wisdom. There is a vast difference between knowledge and wisdom. The world is full of knowledge. Mr. Google provides it at our fingertips. But knowledge doesn't equal wisdom. Having their understanding darkened. This is the world of those without Christ. They have knowledge, but they do not have wisdom. They do not have discernment to make sound judgments. They are spiritually blind because they don't have the spirit of discernment in the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And if you are in Christ this morning, the presence of God's Spirit gives you the ability to understand what is taking place around you. But for an unsaved individual, if you are without Christ as Savior, your mind is vain, the vanity of your mind and your understanding is darkened. This is why we see in our days such confusion. And people make foolish statements like, the problem is climate change. Need to deal with climate change. Let's all drive EV cars. Let's get rid of plastic. Let's deal with climate change. Beloved, climate's always been changing. And it's always going to change. What's the big deal? That's vanity of their mind. Their understanding is darkened. That's foolishness to think that's the issue. Oh, the shock of all this anti-Semitism. It's all Israel's fault. They brought it upon themselves because they're trying to eliminate a terrorist organization. That's the problem. No, Israel's not the problem. The devil's the problem. He hates Israel. Islam hates Israel. That's the problem. The devil, Islam, hate. The devil and Islam hate Israel. That's why we have anti-Semitism today. Not complicated. If you have the Spirit of God, and you got the Bible, it's straightforward. Then it goes on to say, are we still friends? Amen. What's the big deal? If you are without God, you have the absence of God's Spirit, but you don't see clearly, my friend. But if you have the Spirit of God, you can see what's happening and have understanding as to why it's happening. The vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. This is all a fitting picture of the true condition of a sinful life without God, an unsaved person. But also note then verse 18, it reads, being alienated from the life of God. An alien is a stranger. And if you are outside of God's family, then you are an alien. It doesn't mean that you necessarily have a little body and a big head. You might. You are an alien to God. You are separated from God. You don't have the life of the Spirit of God within you. You are alienated. Alienated from the life of God. Dead spiritually. As if dead men walking. And then it goes on to say there in verse 18, because of the blindness of their hearts. So a mark of being an alien before God is spiritual blindness. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible teaches us that the devil blinds the mind, lest people believe. And the only answer to that blindness is the light of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And the devil is doing a good job today blinding the minds of people. And you and I as Bible-believing Christians have the hope of the gospel that is the light that can bring sight to the blind. That's the gospel message. So walk not as other Gentiles walk, the Apostle Paul said, who walk in the vanity of their minds without any real purpose. They do not live with purpose, true purpose. They don't have understanding. They don't see things accurately. They're aliens to God, they are strangers to God, they're dead spiritually before God, and they are blinded to their need of a Savior. Let me ask you this morning, do you live with purpose? Do you see clearly what is taking place around you? Taking place in the world today, do you see clearly? Or are you confused? Are you afraid? Are you depressed? Or are you angry because you can't control your circumstances? If that's you, my friend, you need the life of the Spirit. You need to be born again by the Spirit of God and have the life of God within you, who will open up your understanding and help you to see clearly and give you purpose and give you the ability to discern all that's happening in our day. And yes, you're right, the world's gone mad. And the solution is not simply sacking Labor and bring liberals in. That might help a little. Poquito. But I'll take it. Poquito. Man without God is on a track of destruction. And
this is what we see today. And the Apostle Paul is saying to these believers, walk not as other Gentiles walk. Live differently. Look at verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves unto, given over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So how do unsaved people, people without Christ, in the first world, cope with life? Well, the answer's right here in verse 19. They give themselves unto lasciviousness. That's a wonderful word. You won't find that in modern versions of the Bible. That's why we use the King James Bible. The Word of God, it communicates so much. It literally means to surrender oneself to any and every form of sensuality, lasciviousness, just to give yourself over to any form of sensuality. Live life without any regard to moral constraint or restraint. This is the product of wrong thinking. The vanity of their minds. Their understanding is darkened. They're aliens to God. They're dead. They're blind. And this leads to a lifestyle that is full of lasciviousness. Living life without any regard to moral restraint. The product of wrong thinking. And note then verse 19, it goes on to read, giving themselves over unto lasciviousness. Let's say it together, to work all uncleanness with greediness. To work all uncleanness with greediness. Now keep your spot there, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter chapter 4, note then verses 3 and 4, Peter talks about those that walk in lasciviousness, verse number 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when ye walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Verse 4, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of what? Riot. We read of riots all the time, do we not? That's a mark of the depravity of man. Riot. Speaking evil of you and saying unkind things about Christians. Lasciviousness. And there back in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 19, man void of God possesses an empty mind, vanity of mind, understanding dark and alienated to God, the blindness in their heart. And this leads to lasciviousness to work or to do, to practice all, let's say it together again, uncleanness with what?
That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's the day we're living in.
Practice any form of impurity in order to indulge and bring about gratification to fleshly appetites. This is what vain thinking leads to. This is what a lack of spiritual understanding leads to. See, in Ephesus, people had money. They had money to buy and to do as they pleased. It was a wealthy port city. Are you listening to me? Wealthy port city. People had the resources to buy and do as they pleased. The city was full of immorality in every form. From a religious perspective, in the worship of the goddess Diana, the goddess of fertility, the main temple of the goddess Diana was there in Ephesus, the head office of the world. And within that temple operation, there were hundreds, I say hundreds, of male and female prostitutes that propagated the principle of fertility and fruitfulness. And the main streets of Ephesus were lined with prostitution houses and brothels. Ephesus was a wealthy city. People had at their fingertips the resources to do as they pleased. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, "Walk not as other Gentiles walk." Don't live out your life fulfilling fleshly gratifications. Do not walk in lasciviousness. These poor believers there in Ephesus were faced with this challenge on a daily basis. They had to take a stand. Walk not is the charge to these believers. See, we can't feed the flesh and expect to walk a godly, consistent life. You got it? You can't feed the flesh and expect to walk a godly Christian life. That's why the Apostle Paul said, walk not as the other Gentiles walk. We expect them to walk in lasciviousness, fulfilling their fleshly appetites because of greed, because of their vanity of mind. They're aliens to God. Their understanding is darkened, they're blinded. But you, believer, walk not. Walk not. Let me ask you this morning, what do we need to put off? What do we need to put off? Note then verse 22, it reads, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. What do I need to put off that is feeding my sinful nature? As opposed to killing those fleshly appetites. Are there people in your life that are feeding your sinful flesh? Are there places you go to that feed your sinful flesh? What are you looking at on your phone, TV, computer that are feeding your sinful flesh? Paul exhorts these believers to avoid these pathways and put off, and not to walk in lasciviousness as you once walked, doing anything and everything to fulfill your fleshly nature. Put off. Let me ask you this morning, what do you need to let go of? We all have grave clothes of the past life that cling to us. And we need to permanently remove them. When the Lord Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he did. But he had some persistent grave clothing that wouldn't let go. So the Lord Jesus said, "Let him go. Let him go." And you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, need to walk worthily, verse 1 of chapter 4, of the vocation wherewith we are called. That involves walk not as other Gentiles walk. And make sure that we're not feeding our sinful flesh. That's what that term is referring to. There in verse 22, as the old man. The old man is not your father. He might be a little bit older than you, but he might be a little bit more wiser than you. The old man's your sinful nature. So Paul said, walk not as other Gentiles walk. Put off the old man. That which is feeding your flesh. Why? Look at verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. This is not Christ-like. That's what he's literally saying. To walk in lasciviousness and to work all uncleanness with greediness, that's not Christ-like. This is not the Christ life. In fact, it's the absolute opposite. We in Christ have a personal relationship with the living God. We are no longer dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ personified godliness for us in the way he lived and the way he ministered. And Paul said we need to follow Christ, live the Christ life, and not live like other Gentiles do. See, Jesus Christ is truth. Look at verse 21. Are you still with me? Look at verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus Christ is the way, the life, the truth. John 14:6. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, this past life lived in lasciviousness. That's the past. Let it go. Put it off. It's not the Christ life. Jesus Christ is truth. You've heard him. You've been taught by him. He spoke the truth because he is the truth. He instructed with truth because he is the truth. Put off the former conversation, the old man. And live in Jesus Christ. Live Christ's life. Follow his teachings. Follow his examples. Live differently. Don't live like the other Gentiles. There were saved Gentiles. There were unsaved Gentiles. Saved Gentiles, the Ephesian believers, were encouraged, don't go back and live like the unsaved Gentiles. Put off. Remove the sins of the flesh, of that past life, remove them. The former conversation, that past unsaved life, under the dominion of a sinful nature. Note then verse 22 talks about which is corrupt, decaying, leads to death, destruction, harmful. And according to deceitful lusts, promises joy and satisfaction, but it's a dead end. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The word renew means to renovate, to transform, to change. In the spirit, in other words, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Where does it say? Of your what? Talk to me. Mind. Head office. Control panel. Here. This is our problem. Let's do it together. Come on now. I want to see your fingers. Let's go. No, both. Okay, go like this. That's it. That's your problem. It's not Mr. Albanese. It's here. Part of the problem, but this is the real problem. attitude and the spirit of your mind. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to renew our mind. Truth, verse 21. If so be that you've heard him, have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Our minds need to be renewed with truth, the Word of God. And the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to renew our minds, head office, the control panel of your life, so we will think biblically and act biblically. Amen. So walk not as other Gentiles walk. Put off and have your mind renewed with the Word of God. As Romans 12:2 teaches us, be not conformed to this world, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where the problem is. As we spend time in the Word of God, focusing upon the God of the Bible, the Holy Spirit will do his work of renewing our mind so that we will think biblically and thereby act biblically. Because we see here from verses 17 to 19, if you are not thinking biblically, what is the outcome? Disaster. What do we have today amongst many? Disaster. Paul said to these believers, don't walk as other Gentiles walk. We've learnt Christ. We have the truth. We've heard him. We've been taught by him. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Stop feeding the flesh. Walk not as the Gentiles walk. My friend, what are you holding on to that is hindering your spiritual growth? This is foundational. What do you and I need to put off concerning the former conversation? This is foundational. For many of us, we are determined, for example, to live a healthier life. So we determine to eat more veggies and have at least one piece of fruit a day. But at the same time, we're still eating junk. We might have the apple in the morning, eat our greens at night, but from Monday to Friday, for lunch, we're having McDonald's, KFC, pizza, Tim Tams, and I'll stop there. We would say that's counterproductive. That's stupid. But that's how many of us live spiritually. We read our Bibles daily, we come to church, but during the week we're filling our minds with junk. We're going to sites on the internet that are full of lasciviousness. I avoid news.com. Full of lasciviousness. The Microsoft browser, full of lasciviousness. lasciviousness. You are a hypocrite. If you're saying, I want to live healthy as a Christian, I'm going to eat my spiritual veggies and my spiritual fruit, but at the same time, you're filling your mind with junk. You're watching movies. You're browsing on junk on your phone. You're wondering why you're struggling. Wondering why we're getting nowhere. That's what he's talking about. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. Let it go. If you're going to live healthy, live healthy. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if you do well, the odd treat is okay. We understand that. I think you know what I'm trying to say. May God help us. The Spirit of God will use the Word of God to change us. The way we think will affect the way we live. We need to spend time regularly in the Word of God. Thereby the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and change our minds. But it's counterproductive if you and I at the same time are feeding our flesh. And that's where some of you are at. That's why you're not losing weight spiritually. You talk about it all the time. I need to lose weight. I need to lose weight. I need to be fitter. I need to be healthier. And yes, you are eating your little apple a day. And good for you. Good for you. But at the same time, you're eating your donuts. And you're having KFC once a week. And you're having McDonald's once a week. Then you wonder why you're not losing weight. You don't feel any healthier. Because you're a hypocrite. That's why. On a dietary level. But spiritually, more importantly, that's where most of us are at. And the Apostle Paul is saying, walk not as the other Gentiles walk. Let it go. Your past life, let it go. If there are things in your life that are feeding your flesh, let it go. That's why many of you are struggling. That's why many of us are pitiful spiritually. Because you spend more time feeding your flesh do feeding yourself with the Word of God. Counterproductive. Are we still friends? Put off. Renewing of the mind. Next time, we'll note what we need to put on. You don't put new clothes over old clothes. Men tend to do that. A woman would never do that. No, you remove the old. Talk to me. You remove the old and you replace it with a new. Ah. Thanks, Pastor. You're welcome. Walk not. What do you need to let go of this morning? flesh. That's why you are not where you should be spiritually. But you're in church, and good for you. And you're reading your Bible most of the time. But we're not growing. What about you? Let's bow for prayer.